This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Texting and driving. When we conjure up an image of someone driving and dashing off text messages, admit it, be honest, most of us think of a teenager. Well, most of us would be wrong, dead wrong. A survey done by AT&T as part of the It Can Wait campaign finds, get ready for this, 98% of adults they surveyed said, yep, we know it's wrong to text and drive, and yep, we do it. The number of teenagers who said the same, 43%. So let's talk about this finding and what it means, just what is going on with drivers in America. Paul Green is a research professor in the Driver Interface Group at the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute. And welcome back to Stateside, Paul.
Thank you.
So to see that 98% of adults are saying, yeah, we know we shouldn't do it, but we do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I see, is up because the survey found that 3 years ago, 6 in 10 adults said they were not doing this, 60%. So what kind of stupid mind games are adults playing with themselves?
I don't know, other than it's just a push for people to do more. And as a consequence, they say, well, driving, I'm not very busy, I'll try and do more. So they'll text while they drive.
You know, it's interesting when you think about the fact, Paul, that we have been able, I think, through a lot of hard work, we've made drinking and driving socially unacceptable. Would you pretty much agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, not that there aren't people who sadly get behind the wheel after drinking, but there seems to be a real awareness of, no, I'll be the designated driver.
Mm-hmm.
Why has this not happened, do you think, when it comes to texting, cell phones, and driving?
Well, if you look at those cultural changes, mm-hmm. they tend to take a long time. And the example that I can think of is smoking. If you think about it, it was the initial reports of the Public Health Service.
Yes.
I'm blanking on the name of the commission.
Yeah, but that Surgeon General's report,
right.
That was the 1960s,
That's
wasn't
right.
it?
That's right. And it took many years and many, many reports by many Surgeon Generals to mm-hmm. assemble the scientific evidence to make the point. And if you look at the original report, the committee was incredibly talented. They were looking at thousands and thousands of documents that were well vetted. And even with that, it just made a small blip. And it just takes years and years and years to get these kinds of cultural changes related to safety and health. Seatbelts is another one. It's just taken many, many decades for people to change their behavior.
Is it also, could there be something about the fact that most people now almost consider that cell phone an extension of their hand? You know, if I leave it at home, you go back for it. You wouldn't think of venturing forth without your phone. Is it because we look at it differently than we might a bottle of beer?
Yeah, I think you're right, because the smoking, alcohol, etc., is known to have pretty well-established health hazards. It's a little different with the phone because it's an appliance to do work.
The other thing I wondered when we saw the increase with we're at one point just 3 years ago, 6 out of 10 adults said they didn't text and drive, and now you have 98% say, yeah, we do. Do you think that's tied into the rise of smartphones?
It could very well be, because there's just a lot more features.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that, yeah, years ago people didn't text because texting wasn't supported on their phone.
Or if you had, you know, if you didn't have the smartphone or the QWERTY keyboard, it was tougher to do.
More difficult to do, yes.
So I don't know what the answer is, but is the technology there to be able to do this blocking? I know there is with alcohol, isn't there?
Right. And there are some commercial products that look at your phone, look at the acceleration values, and look at the, therefore can determine the speed at which you're moving and say, well, if you're moving above some speed, there's a good chance you're driving. And therefore, under that circumstance, I will simply not allow text messages to come in, and I'll send a message back to the party that the person is driving. Sometimes that may or may not happen. There's similar features out there for cell phones to block calls as well. Again, they're primarily intended for parents who don't want their kids to talk and drive.
What do you actually do at the Driver Interface Group? What kind of work do you do?
Sure. Well, we do a variety of studies to look at distraction and driver workload. We do them in test cars, and we do them on the road. So let me give you a few examples. So right now we're planning to do a study with Delphi, and the question is, can we do something to warn the driver when they're distracted? So they've developed a technology in which monitors head position. And when drivers are head down in the vehicle, if it's for too long and it provides a little warning, something flashes. All right. Now, it seems like that's an odd thing to do, because you really want to know where they're looking as opposed to where their head is pointed. But it turns out that pretty much wherever your head is pointed is where you're looking, and it's much easier to measure head position than eye position. So in terms of a sensible technological innovation, this is what we're going to explore. Of course, the question is, does it work? Do people respond to the warning? We'll only know when we get out on the road and have people use this system and see what happens.
Well, it's fascinating to think that that work you're doing now could be something that our kids or grandkids just take for granted the way we do a seatbelt.
That's right. And as an example, that could be very applicable to the texting problem, because the problem is you're looking away from the road. So this system would pick that up.
Well, meantime, I guess I can rely on glaring at drivers if I see them doing it on the road, but I don't think it helps too much. But it is something to just keep in mind, again, with 98% of adults saying they know it's wrong to text and drive, but they do it anyway. Paul Green, a research professor at the Driver Interface Group at the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute. Thanks for talking with us, Paul.
Thank you very much.